Hi, thank you. When Stuart emailed me, I guess earlier in the year, to ask if I would give this presentation, I thought that's great. It'd be great to stand up in front of my fellow BCE peers. And then the second thing I thought was, uh-oh, do I still have my BCE? So when I went to graduate school, unfortunately, I let my BCE lapse. And so let this be a lesson to everyone with a BCE to keep their license current. So they allowed me to participate anyway. So thank you. I now used to be employed by Western Exterminator Company in the late 90s into 2000s. And I then went to graduate school and came back, and I worked for the local health department, or for the state health department in the vector-borne disease section. And today I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the projects our department has been involved with bed bugs, including the California bed bug guidelines, which are on the table in the back by the Christmas tree. And also talk about the recent survey that we conducted of local health departments' response to reports of bed bug infestations by the public. And also go over and touch briefly on the document I referred to, Guidelines for Prevention and Control of Bed Bugs in California. What are guidelines? Guidelines are not a legislative mandate. What they are is they're an authoritative reference that can be used by affected entities. So why is public health involved in California? And I can tell you, when I get calls from pest control operators, when the health department is involved, the first thing the pest control operator says is they do not spread disease. And that's when I alert them that in California, as well as in other states, we have a code for vector control. And vector is defined as any animal capable of transmitting the causative agent of human disease or capable of producing human discomfort or injury. So although bed bugs are not vectors of disease, in California, they can be considered vectors because they do cause human discomfort or injury. And for that reason, they can be cited under our vector control code, which does offer a fine of $1,000 a day. However, as with any local government, any code, the code has to be enforced. And so I know of no health department which has enforced the California Vector Control Code in dealing with bed bug abatement. However, there are also other codes in the state legislature under which bed bugs fall, including the Uniform Housing Code and the Health and Safety Code. We know in California, when I say we, I mean entomologists know that the prevalence of bed bug infestations has increased dramatically across the United States. However, in the health department world, we don't know if we had data to support this. This is only coming out of the industry. Obviously, Cooper's paper in 2006 showed that at Western Exterminator Company, I guess on the left of the screen here, which services has 30 offices servicing all of California, Phoenix area, and Las Vegas, has seen this dramatic increase from 2000 to 2006, from zero cases to 240. And Michael Chapman and I, who we worked at Western together in the late 90s, we were just saying that we actually did a poster here at an ESA meeting, which showed that we did have some reports of bed bugs, of course, prior to 2000. However, we didn't, in the database at that time, we couldn't search for bed bugs using that search. So there were a few cases prior to 2000. And this increase in bed bugs shown across the United States. Now, I am very glad that we had the Steritech data to compare this to, because Western Exterminator Company gave me a data dump and they said, okay, you can look in here and see what our increase has been in bed bug services. And when I did the math percent increase, I found a 1,500% increase in services from 2002 to 2006. And I thought I did the percent increase calculation wrong or something. No, I looked it over and now that's what it was. And so it's good to see that Steritech has also noticed, I think it's 4,800%, 4,500% increase around that same sort of time period. This was an incredibly informal survey that I conducted, but I also spoke to Representative Orkin that says in 2000 the bed bug treatments represented about 1% of their total service calls, and you can imagine there's a lot of service calls. And in 2006 they were seeing bed bugs were accounting for about 5% of their total service calls. And then a local provider, PestTech IPM in San Francisco, said that they've seen at least a 17% increase in new services for bed bugs. So we have all this data that they were increasing in California. And then I just think that this discussion, we need to talk about the internet a little bit here. Bedbugger.com, which is a great reference for all things bed bug, and I got an email from the woman who runs the site saying that there's people here who are going to be reporting on the newest bed bug data, but they report 7,000 unique visitors per week and up to 1,500 unique visitors a day. And so what that's showing you is that people are interested in it, and they're only coming to the site once, maybe twice, get a little bit of information, and then move on. And also on this site, if you spend some time on it, they have a fascinating photo gallery of they were trying to determine if nymph and adult bed bugs produce different bite reactions. So they actually had people across the United States take photographs after they were bitten by nymphs and bed bugs. So I would recommend you check it out. And actually, I send quite a few people to this. Although the gray box is covering it up on the side, they make links to a lot of the websites that were mentioned today by local extension offices. So our bed bug survey, we knew that we had a problem in California, and the problem was very out of control in San Francisco. So much so that they've had task force meetings. They put out their own set of guidelines, which we'll talk about later, but we wanted to really assess what was going out across California, and also determine the capacity of local health agencies to respond to these complaints. Or I could put this in a different way. Does it matter if you call the health department? Like, what are they going to do? Do they do anything at all in California? Even though they could, do they enforce those codes? And then also to identify any financial assistance which is available to low-income populations or those with disabilities who are dealing with bed bug infestations, being that the cost for treatment is so high. So how we conducted this is that we set up a SurveyMonkey survey, and we sent it out to 58 local health agencies in California, in all of the California counties. We sent them to environmental health directors, communicable disease controllers, public health professionals, vector control. And this was a 20-question survey. And one of the questions that we asked right at the beginning of the survey was whether or not health departments had seen any change, whether it be an increase or a decrease, had noticed a change in reports of bed bug infestations to their agency over the last 5 years. And what we found was that 21 counties, and this is depicted here in the red, did say that there were an increase in reports of bed bug infestations. However, the green here represents no change. So we have 22 counties in California which the health department is not aware of a change or not aware that they have more infestations. However, when we looked into it through another series of questions, we did find that there were 6 counties who knew that they had bed bugs in their county, although no one had bothered to call and report it to them. And 15 counties did not respond to the survey. So about 36% reported an increase in public reports of bed bug infestations to their agency. Almost the same number reported no increase. As far as they were concerned, bed bugs were not in their county, although 6 counties, like I said, did know of infestations. However, they were not reported to the health department. Whether they knew of those anecdotally or not, I'm not sure. We asked specifically for data. We said, how many calls did you receive from the public to report an infestation anytime between 2002 and 2007, specifically looking at 2007, 2002, 2001. San Francisco City and County has been recording this diligently, and they provided us numbers, and what that shows is that they had over 300 reports in 2006 as compared to less than 150 in 2004. Now, Southern California, large metropolitan city that's not San Diego, did not want to be used here, but they said that they also have seen an increase from 22 reports in 2005 to 132 in 2006. Now, we sent our survey to multiple agencies in a county, and when we did that, we got back all different kinds of data. So, for instance, in San Diego County, we contacted 3 agencies. All different agencies said they had seen an increase, but their numbers were not matching up. And so this is one of the problems, is the public calls in to report these infestations to a number of different departments, including environmental health, public health, housing, code enforcement, or vector control. And after they make that initial call, we're not exactly sure if it's followed up on or not. But because of that, we don't have one standard place, at least in the state data system, to know what the increase actually looks like out there. Another question we asked was, in general, how often do reports of bedbug infestations result in discovering actual bedbugs upon inspection? And I thought this was really interesting. Never. Five counties said no, never. We get calls, but we never find them when we go out to look for them. Rarely. Three counties said no, we rarely find bedbugs in reports to the public complaining. And sometimes, about 12 of those counties said, sometimes we do, and only one county said, yeah, we always find bedbugs. And what I think this basically shows is that local health inspectors, when they go out to respond to complaints of bedbugs from the public, really don't know what they're looking for. And they're not checking with the front desk staff, they're not utilizing all their resources with the pest control operators to actually assist them in identifying the infestations. In fact, I want to share a story here. I was speaking with San Bernardino Local Health Department, and what they were saying is they were dealing with a problem in a nursing home, and there was a large infestation, and the health inspector responded and said, I honestly had no idea what to do, and it was so helpful when the pest control operator came and they sent their entomologist to write a detailed plan to assist me in knowing what we could do. Now, a couple other questions that we asked in the survey was, does your agency actually write an abatement order? So for instance, if the public calls in and says this hotel has bedbugs, and you go to the hotel and you were to find bedbugs, would you write an abatement order for a property infested with bedbugs? And on the left here is the Sacramento City notice and order process for code violations. And as you can see, this is a very complex chart. So what we found was that 13 counties, they might write an abatement order, but what that means is that there's 20, 30, 40 counties out there that are not going to write an abatement order. They're not going to go through this process. And they will only write it if they identify bedbugs on the job. So most of the time, these inspectors are not actually finding bedbugs, so they're not writing the abatement order. We also asked, has your agency closed or wrote an abatement order to close an entire facility due to a bedbug infestation? And we only found one county here in California, and that was Ventura County, which has actually closed an entire hotel for bedbug abatement. What we see normally is that the health inspector, the housing inspector, or environmental health professional, when they respond to the complaint, they go in, they write an abatement order for that floor only. Oftentimes they don't write an abatement order for the above, the below, and the adjacent rooms, as they should, as we've learned, but they'll just write it for a floor, and they'll close that down, and then they will go back to double check. And another question was, in an abatement order, how long is a facility required to be closed before reinspection? 18 counties said they did not know. They would rely on advice from a pest control operator or another professional to make that decision. And four county agencies said, well, we just leave it to an inspector's discretion. So we have another problem, which is that if an inspector actually goes out to these properties to write an abatement notice, there's no continuity, there's nothing to mold all these together with their recommendations. It's really up to inspector's discretion. Another question we asked was, in a bedbug infested facility, if a resident is unable to pay for eradication services from a pest control operator, will the health inspector refer them to an assistance program? And we found that 17 agencies said no, absolutely, we don't have anyone to refer them to, and then yes, six agencies said we would. And I just want to share with you who they would refer people to: Child Protective Services, the Elder Abuse Fund, social workers, we call someone but we're not sure who, was another answer. And I should note, at the beginning of the survey also, we did ask, you know, we asked the person to identify themselves, and we did ask, you know, what agency do you work for? And someone wrote immediately, I don't know why you're conducting the survey. Why would anyone call the health department anyway? So there's a lot of people out there, even in health departments, that say, we don't know what to do if you would even to call us. In terms of financial assistance to low-income persons for bedbug eradication in California, San Francisco has done something that's very interesting, and they are following in the footsteps of, I believe, Vancouver, British Columbia, and that is that they were awarded $63,000 by the San Francisco Board of Supervisors through the Department of Public Health budget to use money to assist tenants with bed bug infestations who are unable to take care of themselves. So we are seeing this grassroots movement out there where people are asking their government to assist some of these populations that cannot afford control on their own. And this leads perfectly into our guidelines, our state guidelines. And our state guidelines do say that in situations with tenants who are unable to take care of themselves or tenants who are unable to prepare a room for treatment, you should contact a social worker, a caseworker, or a local county health department for assistance so that these people can get assistance in dealing with moving their furniture, laundering their items, as we all know, all of these issues that come up with bed bug control. So what the bed bug survey has shown is that education of health agencies on bed bug biology, inspection, and control is necessary, and that PCOs can aid health agencies by providing this information, also providing information on the extent of the bed bug infestation. Our guidelines do have given more guidance towards health inspectors. We say, you know, if you don't find bed bugs in the room, make sure you check the pest control log at the front desk and you look to see if there's any activity across the hotel and whatnot. And also, what this showed is that majority of health agencies do not have programs in place that follow up on bed bug complaints. And I wanted to throw this picture in there. This is taken from Bedbugger, which is that in New York City, someone who was frustrated by the lack of involvement of the public health department just went around and started tagging buildings with known bed bug infestations to alert people of what was going on. And I'm going to switch gears here and talk for a few minutes about the California bed bug guidelines. They are a fluid document and they're constantly being revised, so if you take a look at them and you have a suggestion, please send it to me. And we did adapt these guidelines from the San Francisco Department of Public Health guidelines and also the Australian Environment Pest Managers Association, the best guidelines out there. And what these guidelines do is they help identify bed bug infestations, they point out some best available bed bug treatment strategies, and they stress that cooperation is the key to controlling bed bug infestations. A lot of the confusion by pest control operators, hotels, local health departments, tenants, and so on, we're hoping that the guidelines can be used to help clear some of that up. As far as I know, San Francisco Health Department was the first local health jurisdiction in the United States which addressed this issue. They addressed it in 2006 through a series of public comment meetings. I was involved in some of those, as were some other people that are here, and that was a lot of bed bug victims coming to tell their stories and demanding that the health department do something about it. And what they did is they wrote out these guidelines, and the guidelines are very meaty. They're 6 pages of single-spaced information, so we understand that there's a lot going on in there. But what it does provide is prevention and control recommendations for owners and operators of hotels and other multi-unit dwellings. Also talks about tenant responsibility, what they should do minimally to prevent and control bed bug infestations. Also some guidance for PCOs, and PCOs did work with the state to develop this. And also recommendations for rental furniture, relocation, and storage industries, which we believe are driving a lot of the problems in California. And in the future, we'll add sections for hospitals and long-term care facilities. As an example of one of the guidelines that we have, for PCOs, we ask that PCOs performing bed bug treatments provide at least one chemical or non-chemical means of control to the infested rooms every 2 weeks for 3 consecutive treatments. And what this is aimed at doing is making sure that pest control companies bid jobs appropriately. A lot of the complaints that we get from the public are, I spent $300 for a job with no guarantee, they only came once, and so on. So we're asking pest control operators in California to at least bid a job, planning on going back for one initial visit and 2 consecutive visits. And I'll leave with this thought. Bed bug reports are confined to the realm of gossip blogs. Health departments don't consider them a health risk, but they should, and enough people call, they may actually take action. And I'd like to acknowledge Dr. Ann Kentrup, who helped me design the survey, the California Environmental Health Association, where the survey results will be published sometime this coming winter, LA County Public Health, San Francisco City and County Public Health, Western, Pest Tech, and Orkin, And also, we do have a website at the state, www.cdph, California Department of Public Health.ca.gov, and the search word is bedbugs, where we do have copies of these guidelines as well as some information about bedbug inspection and also fact sheets for homeowners. So, any questions?
Mentioned prevention quite a bit. What are some of the guidelines on the prevention?
Well, our only prevention guideline is more of awareness. And that's one thing, you know, originally I just called it guidelines for the control of bed bug infestations, but as a public health department, we had to put in prevention. So the only thing I have for prevention is just increased awareness. Yeah, Rick?
Maybe I'm not understanding this correctly, but when a hotel is cited as having a bed bug problem, the recommendation is potentially take that hotel out of service because of an existing infestation or a fire. Am I misunderstanding?
Normally when a bed bug problem becomes great enough that a health inspector comes on site, one of two things will happen. The health inspector will come out, they'll make a visit, and they'll say, okay, they'll just kind of see what's going on. That's one aspect. Or the second thing is they can write an abatement order. An abatement order says this hotel, it's similar to a food facility, you need to shut this down, you need to get this infestation in, under control before you can reopen.
Okay, now the second part then is that there's then a fine for every day that this...
There can be.
Because what I don't seem to understand here, and it just seems extreme to me, is obviously, you know, you have data like what Judy showed. Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot of hotels have problems, but maybe only 1% of the rooms have a problem. So to take an entire hotel out of service because they have a room versus taking out, say, a block of rooms, and then
sure.
And then follow up on that, when you have an insect that you know takes time to control, to put pressure on people to say this problem needs to be eliminated now or you're going to potentially be fined, when we know...
As far as I know, it's only been in cases of gross negligence.
Okay.
And gross negligence meaning that in a 16-room hotel, every single one of those units had bed bugs. The tenants had complained, or it was a residency hotel. They had complained multiple times, and the owner was doing nothing about it and was also shipping mattresses to Las Vegas, where he owned a few other properties, and then changing them out. And so in that instance, the entire hotel was shut down. So it's very rare an entire hotel would be shut down. What is more common is that one room of the hotel is put under an abatement order.
I can see something like that. I mean, it's good on one hand to see that in California it's being recognized as a public health pest. But on the other hand, if it's taken too much of an extreme,
Right. Well, I think what the survey clearly shows is that the local health departments really aren't doing much about bed bugs, and they don't really know what to do when confronted with the problem. Yes?
I know in Florida we have a really old problem, which is under landlord's obligation to maintain premises, the landlord is required to provide bed bug control. I don't know if in California
it is the same. Yes, it is the same. The landlord is required to provide control of the infestation. We ask in our guidelines that they do address the infestation within 72 hours of learning about it from a tenant.
Doesn't that help any of the low-income?
You know, you would hope that it would, but I don't know that it does.
I'm sorry, we'll have to cut it off there, Laura. Thank you very much. She'll be available.